I just realized there's a streaming function on this.
We go live?
If we wanted to, we could go live.
Oh, shit.
Welcome back. I feel like this one time when the Raptors played in Atlanta when the Hawks really sucked.
Yeah.
The Raptors broadcaster said, "Now, after the starting lineups, we'll introduce you to the crowd." That's how I feel about our listeners. All four of you.
Maybe we gotta go live, man.
Maybe.
Facebook Live.
Well, with the current job market, I think we definitely need to do something that can help us make money off of this.
Yeah.
That's
dry bare bones out there.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, like...
You had a job interview today.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did that go?
It was probably the most serious job interview I've ever had.
The reason...
And I applied, speaking of which, I applied like a long time. I probably talked about this. Like, airport security wasn't even that serious and you're like protecting the world out there.
That is crazy. They had three people interviewing you for...
Three dudes. Well, like one woman. Three
human beings.
Yes.
Interviewing you for a role as a service manager.
Service advisor.
Service advisor, yeah. At...
Volkswagen. Okay.
And how many people interviewed you at the airport?
It was like three of us people getting interviewed by one person. So they flipped the ratio on its head.
Volkswagen takes their job interview process more seriously than the airport.
Yeah, airport, like, guard of security. So, I don't know, man. I don't know what that basketball player's on about, that like they treat us harsh at the border and shit. That's why we don't want to play for Toronto. From the hiring process, I mean, it's not very thorough there.
Let's say if you were playing in the NBA.
Yeah.
And you had to play for the Raptors. And you had to, because it's been a hot topic lately.
Yeah.
About these NBA players coming out and saying, oh, well, fuck, like, Toronto, If you were making millions of dollars,
yeah,
and your biggest gripe or your biggest inconvenience was you had to go through the airport and go through customs, what would you do?
I wouldn't give a shit, man. I'm a millionaire. Like, why would I give a shit?
But like, okay. Finish that. Okay. I just keep cutting you off. My apologies.
But like, how does it differ from like traveling like state to state? Like, is it that much of a difference?
Well, when you're traveling within the states, you're not going through customs, because you're not going into a different country. You only go through customs because you're going in and out of Canada, in and out of the U.S.
You see, but like, I don't see other sports players like complaining about that. Like,
you don't hear about it from anybody else.
Not
baseball players don't complain about it. NHL players definitely don't complain about it.
Yeah, and then MLS, they don't.
They don't get a voice. They don't have a voice.
Does NASCAR have a Canadian?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Let's just focus on the Canadian, like, okay, the North American sports.
Yeah, the main ones.
NFL doesn't play in Canada, so yeah,
they don't
get a voice. NBA, MLB, and
NHL.
You don't hear anything about the inconveniences of playing the... Not in the... No, no. About the inconveniences of playing in Canada.
Yeah.
You don't hear about any of that from NHL players and from MLB players.
NHL players want to play here.
And not all of them are Canadian.
Yeah.
Right? Even if they are Canadian, they still have to go through customs every time they go to the States.
Yeah.
Right? Like, us being Canadian, if we played on the Raptors, we would still have to go...
Yeah.
To the States. Yeah. Right? It's the same experience as a U.S.-born player would have. But nobody but the NBA complains about it.
And it's not
why?
Even... I don't know. Everybody says NBA players are, like, entitled. They're, like, you know, load management compared to other sports. They have it off too well. I think that could be a reason. But I think wait and see until the Toronto Tempos, the women team, is, like, made. If they complain about it, then we'll know. Because they already have it bad as, like, whatever.
They're not going to complain. They're not making any money.
Okay.
They're not going to complain.
They won't complain.
So my theory for why MLB players don't complain is because a lot of these guys aren't American.
Yeah.
They're from Dominican, Cuba, yeah. Japan, right? So they're used to international travel, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're not going to get that complaint.
And also, they're like traveling, like their schedule is crazy. Like, they're just going for series here.
They travel there. So much more.
Yeah.
Than NBA players.
Yeah.
NHL players.
There's more than one Canadian team. They're going to like Canada like so many times a year.
Yeah, but they also go to the US.
Yeah.
But they don't complain about that either.
Yeah.
Right? You never hear about NHL players complaining about playing in the cold. Right? Yeah. Right? NBA players, oh, Toronto's cold. But yeah, so is Boston. So is New York. So is Chicago.
Yeah.
Those aren't small market teams. Right? The Boston Celtics sold for $6.1 billion. That's not a small market team.
The most championships in the history.
Right? Oh, we don't want to play in Toronto because it's cold. It's cold everywhere.
Yeah.
Minnesota, like I said, Chicago, Detroit, New York, Philadelphia, Boston, they're all cold. So that
Detroit.
So that narrative doesn't work. Right? Taxes. Sure. But if you want to go play for the...
Okay.
They pay, if you play for the Lakers or Clippers or the Kings, you pay just about the same taxes as you pay if you play in Canada.
Even the Knicks, I think. And like,
even those. Yeah. So half these narratives don't make sense.
Yeah, logically.
They're... Logically, a lot of this shit does not make any sense.
Yeah. I think Naf Bhatia needs to do a series where he comes out and he's like, Toronto ain't so bad. Just a recruitment film.
One second. But if your only concern is, I understand that when you get to a certain level of money, you want things done a certain way.
Yeah.
Right? Now, when they fly into Toronto, they don't have to go through the airport. Customs meets them on the tarmac.
Okay.
They get off a plane, into a bus, and go. When they're flying out of Toronto to the U.S., that's because U.S. Customs is in the terminal.
Oh.
They got to go through that. Right?
You think that's a tactic used by the states?
I don't think
no. It's not that competitive.
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
Because it's been happening forever.
Yeah.
So, if as a professional athlete making millions of dollars, making now in 1 year what people made in like 15 years, 20 years ago,
yeah.
If my only inconvenience is having to go through customs, bring it on. Every day. And after that, I'm flying in a private jet, not commercial. It's soft ass dudes, man.
They got to bring the hard ball back.
I don't know if that's the thing, because that doesn't take away from the mindset.
What if we started our own league parallel to the NBA called the BBA or something?
What's BBA? What's the acronym? Expand it for me.
Big Basketball Association.
No.
Okay, find a parallel league and we just go to the hood, recruit the most hood ballers, because I don't think the skill level matters if everybody's at the same skill level.
Okay.
We just get the biggest ballers from the hood and just have the roughest basketball.
They kind of tried that.
Like the prison ball.
Oh, okay. They kind of tried it, but it wasn't rough or prison ball.
Oh.
It's called the And One Tour.
Oh, okay.
Remember the street ball tour?
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't last long.
And then you had like a Netflix documentary filmed based off of it.
Yeah, they kind of did that with that one. I don't think it was Netflix though, but they had a
Blockbuster. No.
they had a documentary on Ann One. And some of these NBA players saying, "My family and friends can't make it across a border."
Oh, that.
But whose fault is that?
Yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
But whose fault is that? It's not the government's fault.
Yeah, I mean, if you break a law, it's...
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Right, and we can't speak for those laws. Laws are what they are. We're just saying that's not the U.S.'s fault or Canada's fault. It's just the laws are what they are.
Yeah.
And I think Rudy Gay was saying for as long as for the first year he was in Toronto, his stuff was held up in customs.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't speak on that.
That's okay, yeah.
But if you're flying through customs, it's not that big a deal. If you're making millions, especially.
Yeah. Maybe they just got to get rid of customs for like sports players and like athletes.
But They also said that at the airport, they open up a separate line for athletes.
Oh, sure.
So it's not like they're standing in like a line that, that takes an hour to get through.
Yeah.
So there are conveniences put in place to help it go a lot smoother than what these guys are saying.
And like statistically speaking, I think like the Raptors are there with like every other team, so I don't think it gives you like a advantage or a weakness. I think it's like, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, people complain about like the bubble too. Like players used to complain about the bubble, but like that's different.
Yeah, LeBron complained about it, seeing how bad it was. And then Steven Adams said, hey man, I'm getting millions to play this game. I don't care if it's in a bubble.
Yeah.
So, it's just perspective.
I think it probably gets, like, messed up the custom shit when you're in a playoff series. And you're, like, flipping the border, like, almost, like, every day.
How, though?
It's like, don't you get tired of just...
How much longer does it actually take?
I don't know. I've never been in customs.
Raptors won a championship crossing customs.
Yeah.
So I don't think that necessarily applies. I'm surprised they didn't use that as an excuse for why the Warriors lost. They had to go through customs. Like, for every excuse that they made about the Raptors winning a championship, that wasn't put into place. Like, oh, the Warriors had to go through customs. That's why they lost. Raptors had an advantage.
Somebody should ask Kawhi Leonard for his opinion. Because he, you know...
He had some good answers when he was playing here about how cold it was. And he's like, yo, I have a jacket. So that's literally what he said. He's like, how do you feel about the cold? I have a jacket.
Those guys aren't even in the brunt of the cold because they're like on the road so much as well.
And everywhere they go, it's cold. Yeah. Right?
It's on the same continent. It's...
The only places it's not cold are Miami,
and
Orlando, and
LA and all that.
LA, it's not even like summer weather in LA. It's like spring weather when it back like in like December. So I don't know what they're talking about.
Houston,
maybe Houston, but Houston, maybe, but Miami, like Miami for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyways, moving on. We have other things to talk about. Political credibility.
Yeah.
You were showing me the LinkedIn profiles for Mark Carney.
Mark J. Carney. Yeah.
And Joe Rogan's candidate of choice.
Yes.
Pierre Poilievre.
Pierre, yes. So if you scroll on there, you search up Mark J.
Carney. Why is he concerned about Canadian politics if he doesn't even want to come to Canada?
Election interference. Maybe, I don't know, maybe like when if Pierre wins the election, he'll come to Canada. But would we want that?
At this point, if he's talking shit about Canada, no, just fucking stay your ass at home. Right, sorry, go on. They're LinkedIn pages.
So you go to Mark Carney's LinkedIn and you see like board of directors, like some like organization. Then you see like, you know, like Canada, Bank of Canada, governor, Bank of England, governor. You go to his education, like Oxford twice, Harvard. Then you switch to Pierre Poilievre's. Doesn't have education listed. I don't know where he went. I just said like MP, member of parliament, 20 years, 11 months. It's one position.
So aside from the fact that he's been in politics for 20 years and 11 months, there's actually no other measure of his credibility.
Yeah, no, like anything that he's done, anything that he's accomplished. Maybe he did good in school, but he didn't.
Now imagine this. Again, this kind of brings us back to Brampton, which we're trying to avoid. Let's say scientists say that there's a universe out there where universes out there with infinite possibilities.
Yeah, parallel universes.
And in one of those universes...
Is it universes or universi?
Universes.
Okay.
In one of those universes is Bob Dasani Singh running for prime minister.
Oh shit.
Right?
Yeah.
What would his LinkedIn page say?
I think he might have one. Should we check?
Check.
Let's check out LinkedIn.
So at that point, let's say you have him as the leader of the PC party against Mark Carney. Right? And we're sitting here talking about him and looking at his LinkedIn profile and comparing it to Mark Carney's. Where do you bring in the credibility then?
Yeah, he does not have a LinkedIn.
There you go. Right. See, so now we're sitting here talking about one guy who is highly educated.
Yeah.
Been the head of two national banks.
Not the national bank.
The one of the banks, like Bank of Canada and Bank of
India. Yeah.
The financial institutions who set monetary and fiscal policies for the countries. And then you have another guy who's just been politics.
Politician.
Right. And we're here discussing how one looks very credible and looks like he can do the job. The other guy who is just like, I've been here. Right. And then you have another guy who is on the city level running for MP.
Yeah, MP.
Who doesn't speak English. And in a parallel universe, he might be running for prime minister.
I mean, I think, what's that thing called? Quantum physics. I think we need to investigate into that and we'll get our answer.
It's not going to answer anything about their credibility.
I think we will see a day, though, that somebody like Bob Desange will eventually run for prime minister. I think the trajectory that we're on now, I think it's a given.
There's too many of us. What's going to happen?
Will he win? I don't know, but he'll try. A Bob Desange-esque person.
In a democratic society, yes, you should have the ability to run for political office. But your ability to hold that position in a competent manner should take precedence over your, I think, right to run for political office.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was saying. Like, how is it that Canada, a country of like 40 million?
Yeah.
How is it that the best two dudes, like before Mark Carney, the best two dudes we could find were like a drama teacher and a dude who's been a politician for like 20 years? We couldn't find anybody else. You're telling me those are the best choices you have in society? See, that's the type of shit that makes me believe that the government doesn't do anything. That's why some secret organization's running the world.
Probably.
It's like, how?
What they call the deep state?
Yeah, the deep... I'm telling you, the whatever they call it, the new world order, deep state, that
shit. Lizard people?
Lizard people. Frog people. They're making the frogs gay.
Frog lickers?
Yeah, they're making the frogs gay. Those guys exist. Now, should we be fearful of them? I don't think so. People always are like, the deep state's going to take over. You're going to have one world government. Your life's going to be fucked. I think it already exists. I don't think it's that bad.
It's like the boiling frog analogy. You know what that is?
No idea.
If you chuck a frog in boiling water, it's going to panic.
Yeah.
But if you let it sit in room temperature water and raise the temperature gradually, it's not going to notice as much until it's too late. So this might be that version of it.
Yeah. I don't see a world where, like, we have a society and these guys are the leaders. It's like, what's stopping me from becoming prime minister?
Money.
Well, we'll get there eventually.
Eventually, yeah, but...
Yeah. What's stopping me from buying a Maserati?
Money. Money. Like, to run for liberal leadership, you had to put up $350,000.
Yeah, that.
Right? So you need to have money to actually... run for those positions. And even if you do have the money, like a Ruby Dalla.
Yeah, she got kicked out.
She got kicked out. Lost. And I don't think she got a refund.
Yeah, I don't think she did.
Right? Now, my dad's friend's son, who I guess we could have as a guest because he speaks English, they got to invest into his campaign from their own pocket.
Oh, shit.
Right? Promotional material, signs, pamphlets. You got to pay for that.
The signs, I understand
and that. They can. They have the money.
Yeah.
Right? So... Sorry, what?
I understand, like, political events and shit. I'm pretty sure that shit works. You will invite the community and, like, right? But do signs work? Like, I've never heard of anybody who said, yo, that sign's looking real nice. I'm going to vote for that politician.
No, because, okay, signs only... they only bring awareness to who from each party is running in your riding.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because you're voting for the party. You're not voting for
that person.
That person, right? That person is just a representative.
Unless it's like an extreme case and you like really love your person, then it's like it's different.
Yeah. And with us, with our communities, that's not the case.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, this is our guy. Let's get him some votes.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe we should have this guy on.
We should?
Yeah. Maybe. Ask him about his political views.
Well, that ruined his like reputation though, because like our like, you know, we're not known to have the most like veg jokes.
I think for one episode, maybe we can hold back.
Okay.
We can be a little serious.
All right. We should, though. We should look into that kind of stuff, you know.
Okay.
Does he have to hire, like, a campaign manager and all that kind of...
I have no... His dad might be his campaign manager. I'm not even kidding. I'm not... Honestly, I'm not...
Well, is his dad, like, with it like that? Like...
His dad's bankrolling it, pretty much.
Okay.
I think.
Makes sense.
Okay. Let's say we do merge with the U.S.
Yeah.
What happens? What happens, in your opinion, which is something that I've been thinking about for a while now, since this talk has been happening, what happens to our banking system?
I think what I was like understood from it was Trump tweeted out a while back, like, Canada won't allow our banks into their system and like shit, right?
Yeah.
But like the truth behind that was that it wasn't that Canada wouldn't allow it, it's that Canada has like stricter rules behind like how risky investments.
Those banks do exist in Canada.
Yeah.
But they're not at the branch level on every corner.
Yeah.
They handle more of, like, think more of the high net worth investments.
Yeah.
And wealth management stuff. But they do operate in Canada.
Yeah.
So.
I know they didn't want to do like all the branch stuff because like Canada has like stricter rules and regulations, right. So they didn't want to deal with that shit. So it's not that Canada didn't allow them, they just didn't want to play with Canada's rules. So they're like, it's fine, we'll let that go.
But my question is, we're going to be dealing with US currency.
Yeah.
Our fund money is going to be gone.
We got our notes with like kids playing hockey on the back of it and shit.
Yeah. What's going to happen with Canadian banks? I think the banks will still stay in existence.
Yeah.
They'll just have to play by US rules.
Yeah, I think most of our laws would just turn into U.S. laws. Or if anything, because like a lot of states have different laws, we'll keep those like state kind of laws, and then anything federal, I guess we'll just switch to the U.S.
Right. Now, for people who have their money in the stock market, does a U.S.-Canadian merger harm them, or does it help their portfolio grow?
I think because, like, yo, they say, like, the things that, like, stock people hate the most is uncertainty.
Yeah.
So if we merge, like, the obvious question on everybody's mind is going to be, like, yo, when's this shit going to fall apart?
If you merge, it's not going to fall apart. They're not going to go the separate ways again.
They won't?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Imagine somebody in, like, before 1812, they're, like, you know, talking, like, what if Canada leaves? Or, like, what if the U.S. leaves? What's going to happen? Like, a podcast like this.
Back in 1812?
Yeah. It's like a bunch of dudes.
Like on a street corner, just talking loud.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the other question is, if the merger happens,
yeah,
Canadians are going to stay Canadian.
Yeah, most of us.
Right, like we're not gonna all of a sudden just because there's no border.
I think some people might be like, yeah, Florida, and then they go and they're like, no, we don't actually like it. We're coming back.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. Oh. Like your mindset.
Oh yeah, mindset. Right?
Like the current generation will still be Canadian in their mindset, regardless of if there's a border or no border.
Yeah.
Now, will there be problems? Because the way I look at it is, during the Civil War, there was the Union and the Confederacy.
Yeah.
Confederacy had its own flag. Those flags still fly in the deep south.
Yeah, you find them.
Right? And they're not looked favorably upon.
Yeah.
With a U.S.-Canada merger, we're still going to want to fly our Canadian flag.
Yeah.
Is that going to be a problem?
I think, yo, because like the Confederacy and that shit had like moral issues. I don't think Canada has like moral issues. I don't see anything wrong with it, with like the shit that we stand for.
I don't think it's going to be, I asked a question, I know, but I don't think it's going to be a problem because I don't think most Americans want the merger to happen.
Yeah.
It was never a discussion point ever.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, but like, it will not to like this level.
It wasn't realistic.
Yeah.
I
don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's just a fun conversation to have.
I think it'll just become like, you know how like different states have their different cultures, like all the LA people like, yeah, West Side, what's up, cuz? And then like all the New York people like, New York, what you know, fool? Right? I think Canada will just have that state culture and it'll just be like, you know.
But we also differ from province to province.
Then I guess we become multiple states. Every province becomes a state.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's not going to be just one state, I don't think. Just managing that whole thing is just, it's, if it does become one state, that's not helpful to the Republicans. If you have 40 million people, same size as California, which is, and Canada's most, more liberal than the US, that goes against the Republicans.
I mean, I think, like, we haven't had a conservative government in, like, Canada in, like, a long time.
Like 10 years.
Like 10 years, and I don't think this election is probably not looking favorable for them either. So if we can't even vote
But even Canadian conservatives are more liberal than...
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no way anybody here votes for Republican. So it's like, I don't think, like, if he merges like them, you're not doing your party a favor. You're sort of screwing yourself up.
Yeah.
Because you're essentially... If Canada win, like, becomes a part of the States, you're going to have, like, a Democratic president for, like, the rest of, like, history.
Yeah.
Unless if they fuck up, like, huge, but, like... Most likely, you're going to just always have a Democratic president.
See, you need a mix of both sides. So lately, what happened before this administration is you had a swing all the way to the left.
Yeah.
With like wokeism and, you know, DEI and all that stuff. And we discussed DEI on our previous, one of the previous episodes. And now you're seeing a swing all the way to the other end of the spectrum. You need something in between for... A happy, healthy, and productive democracy.
Yeah. You need a balance and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I think it's starting to restore itself, but it's, like, in Canada, I think it's starting to restore itself. In the States, they just went, like, all the way to the other side.
Yeah.
It's just going from, like, one extreme to the other extreme.
I think with, again, I was in favor of the conservatives coming in.
Yeah.
But after looking at his LinkedIn credibility... I think they're going to take it. Like you said, I think things are kind of coming back to room temperature.
Yeah.
So
it's like the frog thing all over again, man. The US is just like, it's either really hot or like they're fucking freezing the water.
Yeah.
Or here it's like they turned it up hot and now they're just slowly.
Yeah, they freak the shit out of the frog. And they're like, oh, sorry, whoa, buddy, sorry. We'll turn it down.
Oh, no, man. I think the next 4 years will be really interesting for Canada.
For the rest of the world.
Yeah, for the entire world.
For the entire world. It's going to be a very, very interesting time. That was good. That was a good recording, the second half.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we know what our bread and butter is for the next 4 years. Politics. Should we wrap it up?
Yeah.
Oh, last thing I want to touch on is, when will news and entertainment stop being the same thing?
I think like the pace we're on now, I don't think it's ever going to be different. I think it's just like what it is. Because like, how do you separate those two? Because if you separate those two, nobody's going to watch the news. And then news channels, unless you make news like a non-for-profit and like you legislate it, like if you're a news channel, you can't be making profit. It's strictly a non-profit, but then nobody's going to want to go into that industry. And
you can't have state-run.
Yeah, that's when you... That's...
You can't have that. And if you have something that's too liberal, then you only see one side of the picture. If you have something that's too conservative...
You have Fox News.
You have Fox News. You have CNN on opposite sides. Yeah.
I think CP24
like,
is kind
what,
of...
Like, what do you... Like one of my friends I used to work with back at my old job, and he used to talk about... Getting like an average, like a means, like a sense of average sense of, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
And his analogy used to be, like, do you put 1 foot in hot water and 1 foot in cold water and kind of like, say I'm like getting both, like and say like I'm warm now. Like, what do you do?
Yeah. I think it's difficult. I mean, I think most people are just like they just choose what they choose and then they just go with it and then whatever craft the story around that.
Which is not good.
It's not.
You're not getting the actual picture. We need a neutral third party.
I'd argue that
this is where like fucking aliens got to come in and do our news for us.
Honestly, that's smart. If we get a different civilization handling our news,
that might be the best idea.
Honestly, bro, I think the way to go is you have like different countries covering each other's news. like, it should be illegal for Canadian corporations to cover Canadian news. We need to, like, outsource that shit to, like, China or something. And then
but then they can spin it to their favor.
No, and then we sign an agreement with them where they're not making their news, we're making their news, and then the entire world's just tangled up making each other's news.
But then how do you know what's accurate and what's false?
You just believe in the country, the other country.
But that's what they're asking us to do with our own countries at the moment.
Tough question.
Right? It's like, China wants to fuck Canada and say, like, oh, they found new minerals under here. There's nothing there. Just so they can fucking come invade. So, like, other countries can come fucking fuck us up.
I think propaganda's, like, been a problem since, like, the dawn of human time, right? I don't think that's something you can get across. You just need, like, a really good intelligence organization.
How do you think cavemen were propagating propaganda? Like, go to their, like, their ops' cave and draw, like...
A bear?
A bear that's larger than what it actually is?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, man. I was watching something on Reels and it was like...
Sorry, that was funny. Go on.
I was watching something on Reels and it was like content about, I think it was like, it might have been like Jewish people or something. They're like, it was some story like, oh, like the angels came to this lady, this disciple, and then they saved her or whatever, right? Some simple story. And I'm thinking to myself, what if the author didn't actually mean that? What if the author was just using like a literary like element or something to make the story like exaggerate, you know, like hyperbole?
Hyperbole is what aunties do at weddings.
And cavemen do at their ops.
Yeah. Go on.
Yeah, so I'm like, what if it's just literary like things that the author wrote and like, did it really happen?
That's a broken telephone.
Yeah.
Things get changed.
Yeah.
As you pass the message along from one person, from one generation, onto the next, things change. And the other thing that happens is when you translate one language to another, sometimes there isn't a one-to-one translation. So you gotta use words and adapt, and that also changes what the original message was.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe just get rid of the news altogether. What if we don't have news?
That'd be so much better.
And then you just have like the CIA just like spying and like doing whatever they're doing undercover.
No, I wouldn't even get rid of the news per se. I'd get rid of social media.
Yeah, that's true. But do humans really need to know what's going on? You know, oil tankers are exploding and shit. Do we need to know that?
My problem with CP24.
Can't we just let the government just, you know, you control it. We'll do our job. You do your job.
That's my issue with CP24. Baby with 19 toes born in Africa. Fuck. Why do we need to know that? Why? It's an exaggeration. It's not. But that's the type of shit that they put out on a daily basis.
Today I saw, I was like, construction worker touched like live wires and he died.
Why do I need to know that? Right?
Yeah.
Why? So to a certain extent, what you said makes sense. We don't need to know every little thing that's happening.
Yeah.
The major bullet points, yes, I think people should be knowledgeable about.
Yeah, like if there's like a mass shooting or some shit, like avoid that area.
Fucking cow had calf in Nepal. People prayed. Shit like that.
That's not toddler news. See, kids don't have news shows. Like, what if Treehouse?
Kids are happy.
Treehouse.
Kids are happy, buddy. Why? Because they don't have any of the stupid shit going on in their brains.
Treehouse drops a news show.
Yeah.
It's like Beyblade releases new Beyblades.
Yeah.
Why don't they make a kids TV show? Like a show of the news for kids on a kids network. Kids would watch that.
Kids would go crazy then for new Beyblades and shit.
Yeah. New Barbie out. This one, her legs flip backwards. Her kneecaps, you can break them and shit. Stretch Armstrong, Stretch Barbie. I think get rid of our news, send it to the kids, let the kids absorb all the news. Like, you know how they're doing with like football and shit? They have like the Nickelodeon version. Where you have like the Nickelodeon version of like CP24 and it's like a dude just gets shot. And then there's like, it's just like It's like green, like slime instead that comes out. Like Patrick's like, he got popped by the ops. At one point in time, they probably looked at guns how we look at nukes today. But they weren't like accurate and shit. But
they weren't even efficient.
Yeah, they were just like gunpowder, fucking
put the stick. Gunpowder, fucking put a, what are those balls called?
Bullet.
No, yeah, bullet, but like, I think there's a specific name for those round balls that used to go into those.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Those muskets, or what were they, muskets?
Yeah, they're muskets.
Right, and you gotta shove it down with a stick, right. And you gotta light a little string that has to catch fire, and it's gotta hit the gunpowder, and then it's gotta ignite. Sometimes it doesn't hit, and then by then, a guy with a sword is right, like, fucking like, stabbing you.
I think they might have looked at, like, when automatic guns were probably first invented, they probably looked at them like how we look at, like, bombs and nukes.
You know how revolvers came into existence?
How?
So, when, I think it was in Texas.
Of course it's Texas.
Of course. They were fighting the natives.
Oh, shit.
And they had, I think, single-fire pistols.
Yeah.
And they couldn't load them fast enough to fight the natives, and they would just come up to them and fuck them up. And then revolvers came into play. And then I think at first maybe they weren't really accepted, but then when they started using them, it just fucked up the natives. Because what are you going to do with a gun that shoots six rounds in rapid succession? You can't compete with that with a bow and arrow.
Yeah, therefore.
Right?
And now they have nukes.
And now, yeah.
Why don't we just drop one on the moon just for shits and giggles?
A nuke?
Yeah.
How do we know they haven't?
How do we know that the moon is real? It's not just a projection in the year.
Sounds like a flat earther, buddy. All right, let's wrap it up.
All right.
All right, thank you for listening. Hopefully this was we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
if I ever meet one of these politicians, not like an MP, but like one of the main dude, I'm going to ask them, why don't we go back to the moon? Or why don't we go to the moon?
Canada?
Yeah. What's stopping us?
Money. Same thing as stopping you from buying a Maserati. It's the same game, just like different levels.
Different amount of money.
Different amounts of money. All right. Bye-bye.